Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Tony Sam talks about getting a DUI over the holidays.
So I go to this holiday party, and I'm in a weird place, trying to figure out what's going on, and I decide I'm going to drink all the drinks. And people are like, hey, you okay? I go, I got it. And that never bodes well. Then I see this checkpoint, I'm like, oh no. What I thought I should do is I should turn quickly off to one of the side streets, but someone told me that if they see you do that, then they will pursue you. So I was like, well, I have to go through this.
Today on the show, comedian Tony Sam talks about getting a DUI over the holidays. And it's funnier than it sounds. Stay close.
Hey, this is Tony Sam. You're listening to Storyworthy.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show of 9.5 years, Tony Sam.
Hello.
Or you're a brand new listener, welcome to the show. I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with Amy Efron. Amy is a really great talent. She is an accomplished writer, never stops working. Of course, she comes from the Efron family, and everybody there is so, you know, talented in their own way. A lot of different types of writers, screenwriters and mystery writers. Her sister's a mystery writer. And anyway, she was great. And what was most interesting about Amy Efron, for me anyway, is like, as soon as she walked in, she felt like one of my sisters. Like, she comes from one of four sisters, and I come from one of five sisters. And it just like, she sat down, and she didn't even sit down. Like, she just, like, walked around the living room, looked at the Christmas tree, sat on the couch.
Oh, well, should I have rummaged through your things?
It was kind of funny. No, it was cool. It was super cool. Like, she was, like, we were so at home right away.
Oh, I want to feel like your brother.
She's really cool. Anyway, she talked about how she met her second husband. And she's just great. So go back, listen to Amy Efron, you guys, last week. But not today, because today I'm
listen
here with my first guest with two names.
Oh, I feel so blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Tony Sam.
Hello, everybody.
What are your siblings' names?
Well, that's a great question. My oldest sister's name is, believe it or not, Samantha.
Samantha Sam.
Mm-hmm. She was born Samantha Ann Sam. And in high school, she signed all her papers Sam Squared.
Sam Squared.
And I asked my parents many times why they thought they should do this to their child, and my mom always said, I like the name Samantha.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I mean, that's fine, but your last name is Sam. Why would you
do
that?
So they're not jokers. They just like that name.
No, yeah, I thought it was a long con. hey, this is, we're jerk-offs, and here's your name. But nope, that was it. She liked it.
Yeah. I knew an Eddie.
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 That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I don't like that kind of wordplay.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's cute, I guess. Sam. We always called her Sam.
Yeah, that is cute.
But my brother's name is George. He was named after my father. He was the fourth.
Uh-huh. George Sam.
George John Sam the fourth, and my dad was the third.
Wow. George John Sam.
That's a rugged name. It George.
Is, isn't it?
George Sam, I chop wood.
Yeah, exactly. I hike in. I wear bearskin.
Right, or you need coal? I got a lot of it. I'm George.
Yeah, George Sam.
Yeah, coal man.
I could see that on the back of the yellow pages.
George Sam, coal man.
Tony Sam, I'm so excited you're here. And you bring forth the topic, holiday DUI.
Oh, nuts.
And it's like the first part of the story topic, holiday. It's like, oh, it's going to be a great story. And then you say DUI.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then it's a womp womp.
Yeah, I don't, the story, you know, maybe it doesn't start out that great either. It is the holidays. And, you know, it's funny, this all happened. I think I mentioned that this happened about, I want to say, 8 years almost to the day.
Okay, so it was the holidays. Yeah, I have to say, boy, oh boy, I've never had a DUI, but it's in the back of my mind. Even if I have one beer, it's in the back of my mind.
Like, it's LA, man.
Because it would just, ruin your life, I would imagine. Now, I guess you'll tell us about it.
Well, I came from Chicago, or I come from Chicago, so I didn't drive very much.
Yeah.
We always had the option of there's a train and public transportation. Yeah. You could just hop on anywhere. And I mean, I guess you could take a cab here, but it just, you never really thought about driving. But in LA, you have to drive almost everywhere,
well,
it seems.
Well, I take a lot of Lyfts now, and I take a lot of Ubers, but I live kind of in the central part of the city, so...
Yeah.
It's not that, expensive.
In hindsight, maybe I should have.
Yeah, no, of course. I don't know. I don't mean to be, right.
Look, I'm sorry. But, we wouldn't have a story.
But yeah, oh gosh.
Whatever,
I'll
that was a story,
you.
Yeah.
I really
dodged that bullet, took a Lyft.
My daughter, her teacher, her fifth grade teacher recently was charged with a hit and run. Yeah, it was really sad, and we're going to have to see how it all plays out, but basically... It was like 11:30 at night.
Oh, boy.
And she hit a man on a bicycle.
Oh, yikes.
And she kept going.
Oh, shoot.
And there's like 3 camera angles of it. So it's very clear that it happened. And then she took the car to get it fixed. And
oh, no.
Then they realized it was her car quickly. And she was taken off like her duty of being a teacher, but she was put on administrative work or something.
Holy.
But then when they really knew it was her or whatever, they made an arrest. And that was like 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Ooh, boy.
So it's really scary. And I
well, mine is not that tragic.
Yeah, I'm so glad. But here's the thing. You don't know, but I only bring
Holy
this up.
Holy moly.
Because here's what's sort of fascinating about it. Like, she has a lawyer, and she's going to fight this thing. And I keep thinking about what in the world could her...
Defense be.
But here's what I think. Now, you ask Matt Ritter. He might know. Matt Ritter, who's your...
My co-host.
Your co-host. Legally Insane podcast, which I really enjoy, by the way.
Thank you.
I do. It's a good podcast. The idea is that Matt Ritter was a lawyer, and he knows everything, and you know nothing.
I mean, yeah, I don't know much about anything in any context. Really.
Well, that's not true. We'll get to that later. But in what I'm talking about, let me ask you, what if her defense is, I thought I hit a coyote, and I just kept going, and then... In the morning, I took my car in, like you saw. Then when I saw this stuff going down on the news and how they were looking for my car, I panicked.
Yeah. I don't know if that really is a good defense.
I know, but like, in other words, they aren't going to get a toxicology report of that night.
Right. That's one of her benefits is that she didn't have that, so they'll never know.
Yeah, exactly.
However... Hit and run's still pretty bad.
Well, it's felonious, I believe the word is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just anxious to hear how this plays out. It's really caused a lot of drama in my neighborhood.
Oh, I bet. Is she a well-liked teacher?
Very well-liked. I worked in her classroom for, the whole year of fifth grade, and she had like 38 kids in her class. It was a huge class.
Oh, my gosh.
So some of us parents helped out, and... But a really hard worker and really straightforward. And you would never think of her as a party girl or anything like that. You just wouldn't. And a really good person. So anyway, I'm
hoping... Did you say she blew through a red light?
No, she just came around a corner. There was no red light. She just was coming around a corner but hit this person head on.
Oy.
And he is alive now, but he is... he's in
screwed up.
He has some problems. Yeah, like... Well, anyway, so...
Oh, my gosh.
I guess what I'm thinking of, like, if I were... Something like that would... I don't know. Like, if I got a DUI, I think I would just accept it and just say, I fucked up. I got to change my life around. And this is going to... And I would just go through the steps. Like, I don't see myself fighting it because, this... It happens, and it can happen with very little alcohol in your system, is my point. Because it also has to do with... Like, for me, like, I won't eat before a show. So, because I don't feel like good about eating. Yeah, I don't like to have
energy.
I don't like to have a heavy stomach. So I don't eat. Well, then after my set, I'll have a beer or two.
Sure.
And I'll bet you any money, then my alcohol limit would be too high to drive just because I haven't had food.
Well, I guess they can only speculate either whether she was driving or drinking as well, right?
Because
they'll never
know,
but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's sad all the way around. It's a super tragic story.
It's awful. Well,
yeah, the video is
thankfully, mine isn't tragic. Only for me, I guess.
I can't imagine you would have a tragic story, Tony Sam, just because you're so funny.
Thank like you.
Thank you so much. That you wouldn't have a tragic story, but that you would turn your tragedy into a wealth of
humor. I turned it into some delicious lemonade.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
Mike's hard lemonade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How about, where are you from, Michigan?
Chicago.
Oh, you're from Chicago. Okay, so Midwest, like I'm from...
Chi-town, Windy
Midwest.
City.
Yeah. That kind of, do you remember drinking that stuff? And now we have an age difference between us, but that's not my point. In high school, did you drink the malt liquor?
Oh, like Colt 45 or Mickey's?
Or Mike's Hard Lemonade, like those malt liquors that have.
I was a real dweeb. I didn't like beer.
Yeah.
I still don't really like beer. I didn't get into the hard stuff until college, but like. Wine coolers, I tried, I'm sure. Like Bartles and James.
Bartles and James, yeah.
That would have been my jam, you know? Like, yeah. I like sweet things. That's why I like wine so much.
Yeah, yeah.
But
me too.
Generally, I like mojitos or Mai Tai. I like sugary sweet.
Yeah, especially in the summer, right? Or when it's hot.
Yeah, and so that's where I get into trouble, is that I can't stop.
I can't wait to hear about your trouble. I'm excited. But before we get over to Tony's story, I wanted to remind you guys to, hey, you know what you should do? You should follow Story Smash, the storytelling game show. Tony Sam, you were on last month. You did a fine job.
Oh, I had a great time. You should definitely go if you haven't been. It's a great
Story
show.
Story Smash is a blast. The next one is December 28th at the Improv. And it'll be our 30th show.
Holy
mackerel. My 30th show, I should say. Yeah, in a row as well.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a nice little run. And so we continue to have a good time, continue to sell out. So follow us over there at storysmashshow.com and also on Instagram at StorySmash.
Right.
And listen, you guys, it is the holidays, and you know I'm always in need of good reviews on Apple Podcasts. Why? I don't know, but I need them, and it's the holidays. You want to give me a gift? You give me 5 stars and a good review over on Apple Podcasts. You know I appreciate that. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Tony Sam. Here's the thing, Tony Sam.
Yes?
It's true that you hold a dual degree in molecular and marine biology.
Yes.
What was your thought process when you chose those?
Thought marine biology was cool. Coming from Chicago, there wasn't much reason to pursue that other than I always loved Jacques Cousteau and the Shedd Aquarium.
Yeah, sure.
And
you're right there on Lake Erie or Lake Michigan.
That was my favorite place to go. I would ask all the time to go to the Shedd Aquarium. And even on senior ditch day, when everyone is partying, I made a girlfriend go with me to the Shedd Aquarium.
Yeah.
Where I learned that beluga whales have very large penises. But that's another story.
The largest in the world, I believe.
Well, no, it's forearm size. It's pretty big, but...
what's bigger than that?
Like a blue whale probably has like an 8-foot penis.
Wow.
But beluga whales, and they're smiling all the time.
Yeah.
They look like a penis with a penis.
Yeah. Very goofy, really.
Just smiling.
Almost like the bottlenose dolphin.
Yeah, it's like Bombay doors open and another beluga whale comes out. It blew my mind, but that's not really like marine biology. That just was one thing that I was like, holy cow.
The video. You saw videos of it.
No, I saw a beluga whale penis right in front of my face at the aquarium. They had beluga whales.
Oh, I see. So you were how old at this point?
17.
Okay.
I was like, wow, there's so much I don't know.
Yeah. And you can also find them on Twitter at Tony Sam, and it's very cute. TOEKNEESAM.
That's right. Tony.
Is your sister Sam Sam on Twitter?
No, my siblings don't do social media, and that's probably for the best.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You've got a few more accolades. LA Weekly called you a brilliant comedy character chameleon.
Ooh.
They just wanted to use a lot of C's, I think.
Yeah, I always thought about that.
And then the Huffington Post said you're refreshingly silly.
Oh,
and you are silly. You're
funny. I'm a silly boy.
You make me laugh. And you've done all sorts of things. You've been on Netflix. And what do you mean on Netflix?
Oh, well, I wrote this show, Super Fan Builds.
Uh-huh.
And you can watch it on Netflix.
Fun. And what'd you do on the Food Network?
I was co-executive producer of a show starring Michael McKean.
Oh, wow.
Called Food Fact or Fiction.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
It ran for 4 seasons.
That's amazing.
We did 65 episodes.
Oh, I
it
love
still
Michael
runs
McKean. Oh,
ad nauseum.
Oh, I'll definitely look for that.
It's,
oh, good.
You learn funny food history, and yeah. There's great recreations.
And it's Michael McKean.
He's great.
He's the best.
I wish he was my dad.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Tony Sam.
Hey.
I can't wait to hear this story.
This all starts, I guess, at the beginning of 2011. I had just separated from my second wife, and, you know, I was in a weird place, I would say. So that year was kind of strange. I had to transition into a new apartment just to set down the groundwork. So I had to just start all over again, and I was kind of in a low place. So that Christmas of 2011, I was working on a website called hahajk.com, which no longer exists, but boy, you guys sure missed out. You guys really missed out by not being able to see that. It was kind of like The Onion, but nobody knew about it. So there was a Christmas party, and I was kind of seeing this girl at the time. Just very new, nothing serious, but I had made plans on this weekend to go to the holiday party and then go see this gal. And so I was trying to get my life back together. And so I go to this holiday party, and I'm in a weird place trying to figure out what's going on. And I decide I'm going to drink all the drinks. I'm going to have all of them. Like, I'm not a heavy drinker, which is, but I will, I guess I binge, but at this particular party, I just saw this guy had this drink. I was like, I'll have one of those. And so I was just throwing them back, and they, of course, mixing, and they were giving away free nachos. How do you not have free nachos and fries and all this stuff that, you know, I thought would help soak up the night. Mm. So the hour is coming where I need to go meet this gal, and I decide to shovel off into the night, and people are like, "Hey, you okay?" I go, "I got it." and that never bodes well. And just to preface all this, I don't condone drinking and driving, you know. I look back and yeah, it's stupid, but so I go off in the night, and I start my voyage home, and I come upon a DUI checkpoint.
Oh, shit.
Now, up until that point, like, I'm like singing out loud, and, you know, it's just, it's the night feels good. Like, I don't feel like I can't drive straight or I'm swerving. I feel like, you know, the wind's blowing in my face, and it feels good. Like, I feel warm, I feel nice, but then I see this checkpoint, I'm like, oh, no. And what I thought I should do is I should turn quickly off to one of the side streets, but someone told me that if they see you do that, then they will pursue you, because they know that something is up. So I was like, well, I'm just gonna, I have to go through this. And so I pull into the checkpoint, and the officer is like, "Hey, how you doing tonight?" And I said, "Hey, all right, I'm feeling pretty good." And so he's like, "Have you had anything to drink tonight?" And what you're supposed to say to that is no.
Yeah.
All the time. You should always say no. But I thought honesty was the best policy. So I said, well, earlier, you know, I just came from a Christmas party. But it was a while ago. I had some drinks. And he's like, uh-huh. Now, I should mention at this point that I'm not in a car. I am on a Vespa, a scooter. I conveniently left that part of the story out, but I am on a Vespa LX150, really great ride. If you do need a sponsorship, what a great thing to have for this episode. I'm sure they'd love to be associated with the story. So the officer says, because I have my visor down on my helmet. And he's like, can you lift your visor up for me? And I go, okay. And he's like, can you breathe? Give me a little breath at me. And I tried my best to like go on the side of my mouth. And immediately he's like, I'm going to need you to step off the bike. And I was like, oh, no. Oh. Also, what a weird thing for a police officer to say. I'm going to need you to step off the bike, kid. Like I had a little beanie with a propeller on top of it.
Did you have a helmet on?
I did. And so I knew that the night was about to get interesting. And I could immediately feel like my heart start pumping. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. This has never happened to me. Let's see where this goes. So we moved my bike, my scooter. I won't diminish what it is, but excuse me. So we move it over to the side of the road, and we proceed to do the field sobriety test. So this is all new to me because I never imagined in a million years I would be pulled over for something like this, at least of all on a scooter. So we go over there, and he asked me to do the first thing, like touch the tip of your nose with your finger, where you stick your hands out and you touch your nose. And I thought I nailed it.
Yeah.
Right? I thought I was doing great. And later on, I would see in the police report that he noted that I like hit my forehead and my cheek, which I know is not true. Like I can remember vividly that I did indeed quickly touch the tip of my nose, and I felt very proud about that fact. And I may have remarked at the moment about like nailed it, which you know I don't suggest saying any of those things. But the next thing was you have to stand on one foot and hold your other leg out in front of you, which at the time, like, I was like, I know I can do this. And so it's hard even when you're sober. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but if you don't have good balance, no matter what you do, you're going to fall over. But I didn't fall over. In fact, I was so proud of myself. Like, in my head, I was like, just going, you can do this. You got this. You are so strong. Like, I heard myself saying it, and then the officer said, what did you just say? And so I was like, oh, well, I guess I don't know whether I'm in a dream state or what, but I actually said those things out loud because he put those on the police report. I am so strong. Like, I was very proud of my core at that point because it takes a lot to do that. And so he was like, well, I'm going to need you to blow into this thing. And I was like, oh, based on my last two things, you still think I need to do this, huh? Okay. And again, most lawyers will advise that you don't do that. But I didn't know that, so I did it anyway. And it turns out I'd only been 0.01 over the limit. I was, despite everything I drank, because I'd eaten so much nachos and potatoes that it did absorb the night. So I was a 0.09. But because the limit's 0.08, and I must have hit it at the right point because my alcohol level was probably rising in my bloodstream as I metabolized. But at that particular moment, I was only a 0.09. So he's like, listen, if it was me, I probably wouldn't have pulled you over because you're on a scooter, and I would have laughed and let you go. But as fate would have it, you've arrived at this situation, and I got to take you to the station. Oh. And I was like, oh, no. And so my first instinct, which, again, I don't recommend saying anything, is once he said that, I was like, well, what's this going to cost me? Because then it kind of is admitting that you have some guilt and that you know what's happening. But I was just in my head being like, oh, my God, this sounds expensive. And so I just asked very nicely if they would put my scooter off on a side street because they were going to like tow it and impound it. And I was like, oh my God, just could you put my scooter on the side street? I'll come get it at some point. And he's like, I'll do you one solid. And I was like, thank you so much. So he had established this relationship where he was my friend and he was asking about, he said, you're a pretty funny guy. You a comedian or something? I was like, I don't know. Depends who you ask. He's like, that's what I thought. And so he puts me in the squad car. And he's like, well, I'll see you at the station. Because he was on a motorcycle, and he put me in the squad car with these two other dudes. Now, I had decided at this point that I'm going to have a good time. It's like, this night, I was supposed to meet this girl, and everything was going to be great, and everything has fallen apart quickly. Because it's like maybe a week before Christmas, and I'm like, oh, man, this sucks. So I was in the back of the squad car, and I'm handcuffed at this point. So it's very uncomfortable. But I remember that the windows of the squad car had fogged up. Like, they didn't care about the back of the squad car. And I remember we pulled up to a stop, and there was a car next to me. And so I leaned over, and I wrote, help me, with my nose on the windshield. I just remember the guy in the car looking over and like doing a double take at what I was doing, and I was trying to mouth the words, help me, help. Which to me was funny at the time, but again, I don't know if the officers would have appreciated that. So we get to the police station, which this is my first time being arrested. And Hollywood Police Department it's an interesting place because it is it's a den of, it's like the Mos Eisley Cantina, right? It's a den of, what does he say? Degenerates and ne'er-do-wells. That's probably not what he says, but it was all like prostitutes and belligerent drunks. That night, I must say, there was the most DUI arrests in the history of Los Angeles. Like, this was a huge sting operation that they did, and no time prior had they arrested. There was probably like 800 arrests made at these checkpoints that night, and I just happened to be one of the most unlucky ones. Like, they had done this, just the city had all these checkpoints, and they nabbed everybody. So we get to this station, and they lock me up to this long bench. And like I said, there's prostitutes, both men and women, and those who identify probably as both. And then there was people who had gotten sick on themselves and just like angry people struggling with police. I'm like, oh boy, well, I gotta make the most of this because this doesn't seem like it's as good a time as I'd hoped it was going to be. But I'm just going to try again and make the most of it. So I'm sitting there, and out of nowhere, they bring in this guy who's wearing a white tracksuit, which at one time it probably was very clean, but it was very filthy and covered like in blood. And he looked like he was on all the drugs. And they're like, they sat him down right next to me. And I was like, this is about to get interesting. I don't want to be here anymore. This isn't the thought. This is what I thought it would be. And so he is like feisty, and he's moving around, and he looks over at me, and I'm trying to avoid eye contact. And he's just all wild eyed. And he goes, hey, what'd you do? What are you in here for? It's like, I don't know. I didn't think we were supposed to talk about it, right? I thought it's a mystery. We're all innocent in here. He goes, tell me, man, what'd you do? And I said, well, I had a couple of margaritas. I don't know, all the drinks. And I'm like, what did you do? And he's like, I stabbed someone, motherfucker. And I'm like, oh, well, if you're going to do something, that's it, huh? That's it. And he just, he's staring at me, and his eyes are so crazy and bloodshot and wild. And he laughs. He goes, ha, 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 I like you, crazy motherfucker. And I was like, oh, okay. I've won his respect. And he must have thought that we were like, we'd connected. So he proceeded to tell me that he had hidden a bag of cocaine in his shoe. And he's like, hey, don't tell anybody I got this cocaine in my shoe. And I was like, okay, well, we reached that point. I have no secret to tell you, friend. But I wanted to go home at this point. I really wanted to go home. So I had asked for my arresting officer to come over, and he leaned in. He's like, how are you doing? You need anything? And I was like, hey, I got a secret. I got a secret. You should probably check this guy's shoe. I narked.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to go home. I thought if I tell them this special secret, I can go home because I helped them. So they come. A few officers come back. They pick him up. They bring him into this room, which is directly in front of me. There's a piece of glass, and there's a room that he's sitting in, and he's looking out at me. And so they ask me to take his shoe off, and he doesn't want to take his shoe off. So they force him to take the shoe off, and the whole time he's staring at me. And I feel like our friendship had taken a turn for the worse. And thankfully, I was like, oh, God, I hope they don't set him back out here, because I've done what you're not supposed to do. I'm a rat. But I was a rat who wanted to go home. So thankfully, they did not bring him back out. But like his eyes, I will never forget the glare he stared at me with. And it's like, oh, boy, I'm glad he doesn't have that knife thing he stabbed someone with earlier. The officer, I think, did take a shine to my prison code violation, and he basically, they were going to keep me all night, but he said, listen, I think we've had you long enough. And so the night did move smoother than I thought. He let me make a phone call. I actually got to use my cell phone to call someone. The girl I was supposed to see, I was like, hey, listen, you're not gonna believe where I am. Anyway, I don't know who else to call. Do you think you could come get me? Which is pretty awful, because I think I was going to meet her at a party, so she left the party to come get me out of jail. And I remember when the officer came to tell me that she had come. He's like, hey, real cute girl out there. Don't blow it. And how about lay off the sauce for the rest of the night? So I was like, all right, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I remember he gave me my envelope with my stuff, and I walked out into the lobby. And I wanted to play it like I was fine. Like, I was just so confident, and like, I wasn't drunk. I still felt buzzed at the time. But I was like, come on, let's go. I remember seeing her, and then thinking I was walking outside, I walked right into the men's bathroom. And I was like, oh. And so I stood in there for a minute, and I was like, okay, boy, am I stupid. So then I took a moment, I walked back outside. I just wanted to check myself, see how I looked, and the officer's just shaking his head, standing there. And so we leave. We ended up spending the night together. The girls seemed to not mind too much that I had been arrested for drinking and driving. Obviously that relationship didn't last. But the best part of the story, I think, is the aftermath. I got an attorney, you know, and we went to court, and I was not convicted of a DUI. It turns out if you pay money for a lawyer, they will plead down, and depending on, I guess, how severe your crime is. But the charge was, and this is the best part to me, is that I was convicted of aiding and abetting a street race.
Wait, what?
Which means that I wasn't in a street race. I was the girl with the kerchief. Wait, let's go, boys! And starting the street race, like a drag race in the 50s, which is it was a weird charge, and I wasn't even I was on a Vespa, and that never came up in court, which I thought it did a disservice to the humor of the story. But yes, I was convicted of aiding and abetting a street race.
But what do you mean? What did you do? How did you do that? I don't understand.
It just was a lesser charge that the DA had agreed.
But you weren't actually doing that.
No, no, it doesn't matter. Okay, it wasn't a moving violation.
Oh my gosh!
I kept my license.
Yeah.
Like most people,
you didn't
lose.
Have to go to traffic school.
Nothing.
No points.
Another thing, I beat the DMV.
Yeah.
Like their record of beating them is like 12%.
I bet.
So.
And so wait a minute. It never came up that you were on a Vespa.
In court.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason that they never mentioned it out in open court, but between his discussions with the DA office, he was like, look, this guy, he was on a Vespa. He has glasses, for Christ's sake. He wears glasses. Let me take a look. I feel like they both like turned and looked at me, and I may have waved back at them from the galley.
Yeah. Did you, when they took your scooter and put it on the side street, did they lock your helmet onto it, or were you carrying your helmet around?
They brought my helmet to the police station.
Yeah, so you got your stuff back and your helmet.
I did, and that next morning, it was there. He had left it there. He had done me a solid. It would have cost me a few $100 just to get the scooter. But that was a ride of shame.
Tony, this is like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, is what it is.
I think back about the guy, mostly the stabbing guy, because it's like covered in blood, and I was like, man.
How did you give the information to the guard? In other words, you walked over to him?
No. So we're all handcuffed to the bench, but he came over to check in on me. I go,
you whispered.
I've got a secret. And he leaned over, and I said, you might want to check his shoe.
And at that point, was the guy, the stabber, was he looking at you like, what are you doing?
No, well, because he was so screwed up.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like,
yeah.
Like, fidgeting and, like, just, he was restless and he didn't hear me. I was trying to be as coy about it as possible. As coy, I guess, as you could be. But, like, I wanted to get out of there so bad. I was like, I know I'm betraying his trust, but I got to let somebody know this.
Yeah, man, it's survival of the fittest. I can't believe they don't check people's shoes.
No, that was the first thing. The guy stabbed someone. I'd check his shoes.
Yeah, what do you got in there?
We got another knife.
Is there a security at all when you go into jail? Do you have to go through a security check?
Well, I imagined, I guess, because he was going to go to jail for a while, I assumed.
I just...
Like, I thought... I mean, he already stabbed. They know he stabbed somebody.
I can't believe they put him in the general pot.
You know right? I mean? Like, I was supposed. I thought that I would get a cell or something. But for initially, you are handcuffed to a long bench like a horse.
What about that girl? That sounds like such a funny beginning. That would be a great story if you did.
I know
it.
To tell our grandkids.
Yeah, but what, so that just didn't work out. I mean, that
no.
night, was she laughing? Were you guys laughing at all, or were you upset?
We went. I remember we went to the Cafe 101.
Okay,
because I was like, I should eat. I'm hungry. This what a night! I deserve a pancake breakfast.
Right.
And it was like 2 a.m. at this point, and yeah, we went back to my place, and you know, we had relations, and I was like, wow, maybe she was turned on by my tale of being arrested.
You have like a crazy 8-hour period of life.
That's right. I was like, at the least, I never thought I'd still be having sex at the end of this night. At least not like, you know, with a lady. I thought maybe I'd been forced against my will in prison because I had all these scenarios going on in my head like, oh God, I'm in jail. I got to watch my back. But like the night ended as well as I guess it could have. Like I was like,
and you didn't have a hangover.
No, because I kept eating. Like I was like, I was well fed, and
you only drank earlier,
and it didn't even feel like the next morning. I was like, well, I don't even feel that bad, which makes this even more unbelievable. But I remember the week that followed, I received more mail from attorneys.
Wow,
like they just know, like they check the blotter, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And it was like a garbage bag full of just like, hey, hire us, hire us, hire us.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't even know where to start with this. And
how did you choose a lawyer?
I just looked for one with the best reviews.
Yeah.
Yelp.
That is the craziest story. So what are you supposed to do if you don't blow into that thing? What do you mean?
How
do
you have a choice? You will automatically lose your license for a year if you don't. It's your right, but the chances of you being convicted of that crime are far less.
But can they take your blood?
They can't take it against your will. You have to, like, part of the agreement of you having a driver's license is you're saying, I will comply. I will give a breathalyzer upon request. When you forfeit that right, then you lose your license for a year.
I see. Interesting.
So that's why lawyers will always say, would you rather lose your license or would you rather be convicted of a DUI? And most people would say, well, I'd rather just lose my license.
So you're supposed to not breathe into the thing, not give blood, and then do they arrest you?
They will. They'll arrest you, but the chances of, I guess, holding up are less. Because then they don't have, you know,
evidence
other than the officer observes that, say, you know, you weren't able to do the field sobriety tests. And and again, those, when I saw the police report, I was like, man, this guy.
He lied.
He said that he was sucks. My friend. But he wrote all these things that I know were not true. Because, like I said,
sucks.
You know, I'm not a small guy. I can hold my liquor, which is probably what alcoholics say. But he made up all these things. Like, I know for a fact that I did touch my nose.
Yeah, you did.
I know
the,
that
you
I
did.
Did
things, yeah.
I held that one leg stand for like 22 seconds. And I knew I had done it all right, except he wanted to really make the case stick. And
right.
I don't even know that he showed up to court.
Yeah, probably not. And maybe, like, he's thinking, okay, I know to get this thing to move in, you know, the direction of a conviction is I've had to check at least one of these boxes. I need to make sure one of these things is wrong and something, you know. It seems really conniving, especially if they were doing a sting. I mean, maybe they all had, like, a, you know, if you pull over 30 people, you'll get a bonus or something. I don't know.
I think that I don't know how many of those probably
sucks.
Got thrown out.
Yeah.
And it was right before Christmas, and the lawyer cost like something like $3,000. Which the saddest part to me was that when I was waiting in court and watching everyone else plead their case, people who didn't have representation, everyone just kept pleading guilty, and it was just a mandatory, you've got to go to these classes, lose your license for a year. You have to pay all these fines. I still had to pay a fine for aiding and abetting a street race, but it was nowhere near the fine that DUI was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it all sucks. Like, my insurance went up, but I did learn a lesson. I was like, well, this was a mistake. And for a while, I did take it very hard because I was like, wow, this is awful, and I feel like such a loser.
Yeah.
But the truth is that lots of people do it. They just don't get caught.
Get caught, right.
And so, I mean, we had a president of the United States who I think had several DUIs.
Yeah.
I was like, I could be president now.
Yeah.
But
Bush had several.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did Dick Cheney. Did you see that movie, Cheney?
Yeah.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
Was it called
Vice?
Cheney? It was called Vice, yeah. It was a great movie.
So I'm presidential.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it.
Well, I'd vote for you, Tony Sam.
You would?
I like you so much. You make me laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
You are so funny. What a great story. It's scary as hell, man. I'm just glad, you know, I'm sure everybody said this to you before, but I'm glad you didn't hurt anybody or nobody got hurt.
No.
You didn't get hurt.
I thought,
you know.
Like...
Do you still have the Vespa?
I did. I sold that one because I had put, like, almost 30,000 miles on that thing.
Oh, my God, that's astounding.
Because I loved it. I loved that thing more than anything. I'd always wanted one.
Cool.
And I was going pretty good on that thing. I didn't feel like I was in any danger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never would put myself in a
Have
position.
Have you gone on the scooters that you see all the time now, the little ones?
Oh, like the...
With limes and...
Lime. No, those seem more dangerous
seem really
than a Vespa.
Man. I mean, the tires are so tiny.
Yeah.
I just think if you hit even the tiniest pothole, it's going to be, you know...
But somehow less cool. or somehow that's more cool.
They're all over the place
than
now.
than a Vespa.
Yeah,
like I look like a loser still on that Vespa with the. I think it's the helmet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all those scooters. I don't know if they're in other parts of the country, but here in LA, they're just everywhere.
Yeah, and they're like rats.
They're lying all over the sidewalks. Essentially, you're like stepping over them.
My favorite part is
because you can take one and just ride it as long as you want.
And just throw
leave
it.
You can just not throw. You're not supposed to throw it.
I thought you're supposed to throw
but
them.
But you
when
leave
you're
it. You just leave it anywhere you want, like on a tree or up against the building. And then the idea is that there are people that clean them up at night, the Vespas, and they go around. They know where they are from some sort of tracking, and then they pick them all up, put them in their car, and take them to the the head Vespa place.
That's right.
They're not like Roombas. They don't just automatically go. Although that would be quite.
They. What's funny to me is how much people hate them.
Yeah.
Like there's videos, there's whole videos online of people destroying them.
Yeah.
Like they throw them off balconies and stuff. Where it's like, I hate you. It's like, whoa, it's just a scooter.
I could see that. I could see that going viral. Anyway, listen, great story, Tony Sam. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
It was super fun.
Oh, I wish there was an epilogue of where that guy and I became pen pals.
Yeah,
and
I
stood up as
the stabber.
I think he's still in jail.
Oh God, I just can't even believe he was all bloody in there.
Oh my! It looked like he had bitten whoever he had stabbed because the blood was like coming down the middle of his shirt. I was like, oh God.
I think that should be the name of your next album, The Narc. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Find Tony over there on Twitter at Tony Sam, and also at his website, the Tumblr site, which is
Tony Sam Comedy.
Tony Sam Comedy, that's easy enough. And then, of course, find me over there on Instagram and Twitter as well at Storyworthy. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Tony Sam. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.